Hey, good morning. This week we're going to discuss, we mentioned last week that it was supposed to be a three-week class. It's going to be continuing, Bez Hashem, for another 5 weeks. So we have, this is the first of the next five. We're discussing the Lama Tas Malachos, and what we're going to try to do is separate each week for itself. This way, 1 week doesn't necessarily lap over into another week. We'll take either one or two Malachos per week. Things connected to the Lama Tas Malachos. I have something else in mind a little bit. It's not exactly connected to the Lama Tas Malachos about washing dishes, but we'll see about that. So this morning we're going to be discussing the halachos of Kosev and Mochek. Kosev and Mochek, which means writing and erasing. Now, we mentioned last week that everything that we learn for the Lama Tas Malachos is all based on what was in the Mishkan in the Midbar. So in the Mishkan, what they did was, when they set up the Krashim, to set up the Mishkan itself, the planks, so they wrote letters on the planks. This way they knew when they took down the Krashim and they traveled and they put it up again, they made sure that the same ones were where they were before, which was important to have them exactly where they were before. So we wrote Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, different discussions, how exactly it was written, but there was some type of writing in the Mishkan, and therefore writing is not allowed on Shabbos. So the deraisa of what's also made deraisa to write, of course, is letters. You're not allowed to write any letters. I don't think anyone over here is going to pick up a pen on Shabbos and begin to write. So there's many different halachos as far as writing on Shabbos, writing backwards and writing Chinese and things like that. All those halachos we're all going to leave out. The halacha of writing is a tremendous discussion, and many different questions that we're going to leave out, we're going to break it down to the basic practical applications of how writing could affect us. Included in the Deiraisa, including in the what's forbidden according to Torah law, besides writing letters, is also making a picture. Also making a picture, meaning if I pick up a pen and I don't write any letters, but I make a picture of something or a meaningful form, so that conveys some type of message, that is also forbidden on a deraisa level. This applies, and again, we think that's not so common. You pick up a pen and make a picture, make a letter. No one's going to be doing that. But this applies by food. We say that this applies by food as well. Perhaps it's only midrabanan, but it does apply by food as well. So you are not allowed to make food into a meaningful shape or a meaningful form or into letters. So let's discuss some of these halachos. That which we say you're not allowed to make a food into a shape or a form or a picture or letters is only if it's a meaningful form, meaning you're allowed to scoop, let's say, a cantaloupe into balls. And even if you have a specialized scooper for that, right? We have that specialized kli, that's halacha by borer. But by other foods, by other malachos, you're allowed to make, let's say, chopped liver or egg salad into specific balls. You're allowed to make the edges of a cake, you know, like the ridges, edges. That's fine. That's not a meaningful shape. Even specifically into a triangle or a rectangle or a square, that's permitted, because maybe in trigonometry those shapes are meaningful, but really, as far as we're concerned, they don't convey a message. They're not specifically a meaningful shape. So you're allowed to cut foods into those types of shapes, but to carve into a flower shape or into a star or into a heart or into animals or letters or numbers of any type of food is not permitted. Meaning, let's say you're not allowed to carve a watermelon on Shabbos into like a swan, because you're carving something into the shape of a swan. You're not allowed to take Cheerios or candies, or let's say jelly beans or some type of nuts, and you're not allowed to make those into a letter. Let's say your husband's leaving to shul and he wants to leave you a message, so just leave a message, yes or no, and don't wake me up. So he takes the Cheerios and he makes a Y on the table. So that Cheerios are not considered an O. Those are just, you know, you take jelly beans or Cheerios or nuts and he makes, form that into a Y, or for sure into the letter yes. That is not allowed on Shabbos. We'll discuss alphabets in a second. Those are already letters from before. But to make a letter from something that wasn't a letter before, that is not allowed. Even though they're not attached. If you make a letter, that's not allowed. We're going to discuss as far as attached. You're confusing with something else. We're talking about Scrabble and bananagrams. We have to discuss those halachas. Those are letters that I didn't make the letter. The letter's there from before. Just I'm attaching it to a word. We'll get to that shortly. Here, I am making, that's something else.
What about a piece of bologna and you put a little I? eyes and the nose. And
so that's a very good question. If you now we say, again we said a meaningful form. So I'm not sure. I didn't see any of the Paiskim say specifically. I need to do more research about that. If you make, my kids do it all the time. Like you, so if you, I think if you take a salami, you punch two holes and a third hole in the middle to make a smiley face like that. I don't think that's a problem because you're not making the shape. I'm not sure. If you take, let's say, three jelly beans, or let's say 20 jelly beans, you make two eyes and a nose and a smiley face, that could be forbidden. I'm not sure. As far as stopping your children from doing it, we'll discuss that soon when we get to puzzles, but it could be that would be not allowed. You know, that's making into a meaningful form, into a meaningful shape. That is quite possible that's not allowed.
What about using different things? You know, two tomatoes for eyes and a...
It would be the same thing. It would be the same idea. You're making something into a meaningful form, into a meaningful shape, or into letters. You're not allowed to make, let's say, chopped liver or egg salad or tuna salad into the shape of a flower. You know, you'll have that a lot of times if it's made from before Shabbos. Okay, fine. We'll have to discuss about eating it and breaking it. But as far as making it, you're not allowed to make, so you have fancy guests, you're not allowed to make the chopped liver or the egg salad into the shape of a flower, into the shape of a fish or something like that. Yeah.
Like, let's say you said before, making into the shape of a circle is permitted. So, like, a lot of times caterers use, like, a mold, you know?
Okay.
And they put, like, egg salad or the chopped liver so it's, like, perfectly round.
That's okay.
So why would it be a problem to use, then, a flower thing? Like, what's the difference
between a mold,
flower?
Because the flower is a specific shape, a specific form. The circle is really nothing special. The caterer wants it as a circle because it looks perfect like that, a circle or a square, but that's not considered a meaningful form that conveys a message. When you make a form of a flower, that you're giving over the message that this is a flower. Probably flower because it's pretty, but it's a specific form, like a heart or a star or a flower. The place can say that that's different than your standard circle or triangle or square.
So then if the caterer were to take a mold that wasn't the shape of a flower to scoop out...
That would be okay.
Oh, using a mold
would be okay?
Using a mold is okay. As long as you're forming a shape that is permitted. If you're forming a shape that is not permitted, then you can't. You can't take a flour mold and stick it into the chopped liver and then put it on the plate. Now you just made a flour out of this chopped liver.
You could take the chopped liver and put it into the mold and turn it up.
Also, you can't. Also, you can't because you're forming the chopped liver into it's all midrabanan.
But circles
she was asking as far as just a perfect circle. A perfect circle that is allowed even with a mold. A flour is not allowed for sure with a mold. It's not allowed.
That's nice.
An ice cream scoop, it doesn't make a specific shape. It just makes a perfect ball. It's just a regular ball. Just a regular ball that we say is permitted.
Can I ask another question? Okay.
A lot of your questions, I'm letting you know, a lot of the questions that you're asking, we're going to cover.
I cut Rice Krispie treats into strips. And
okay.
And made like a little stick figure. That's no good.
Right. Now I'm going to make it like into a gingerbread man type of thing.
No, it's
not that. By food, some places can say by food it's not a rice anyway. It'll be a derabanan at best.
Better.
But if you make it into a gingerbread man, that type of thing, yeah, you make it
Even
into a man.
Even though it's not like a real looking person, it was like little sticks. I mean, it was like.
I wasn't there. I don't know. You know, if it was able to convince, it was good. People were able to tell it was a person.
My kids had a hard time, but they figured it out.
Okay, it was you make it into a man, so then that's not allowed. You know, they're making it into it's like you're drawing, so to speak, a man. A few things that are permitted. It is permitted to write with finger motions in the air. Meaning, let's say you can't talk, you're already washed or something, and you're not allowed to talk. So you're making finger motions in the air, so you're trying to tell something to your kids or to your husband, so you make like a Y for yes or an N for no. That the Shulchan Aruch says is permitted. Because even though you're making a letter with your finger, but that's not what we call Rishumai Nikar, it's not recognizable, even though a person could tell what you're trying to portray, but that's not a letter. That's according to Halacha, that's not considered a letter. Also on a dry surface. If I'm sitting next to you and we both can't talk, or I can't talk and I washed already or something, so I'm allowed to go like this on the table with my fingers. That I'm allowed to. Perhaps some people will think that's not permitted, but the place can say that that's permitted, because again, that's similar to just making the letters in the air. You're allowed to do it on the table. Okay? Sometimes you play a game with one of your kids that you make a letter on their back and they have to guess what the letter is. You're allowed to do that as well. You're allowed to do that because that's just finger motions, even though it's on a surface, it's on a table, it's on somebody's back, it's on somebody's hand, whatever it is, but that's not, there's nothing, there's no Rishumai Nikar, it's not recognizable at all. There's nothing there, it just disappears. So there was nothing there in the first place. That is also permitted. you know, you like to make like these with the shadow, especially if on Shabbos the lights are off in the room and there's a light coming in from the hallway or from a night light. So you make like these certain motions, and you can make like a dog or an alligator on the window, on the wall. That's also permitted. And this in Karelit says that's also permitted, because the second you take away your hands, your fingers, that's not considered as if, again, it doesn't have to be letters. We said even pictures or animals or dogs or anything like that. But if something just a shadow on the wall because of your fingers, that is also permitted. Okay, tell me if I'm going too fast. To be forbidden on a deiraisa level, it needs to be a writing that is what we call miskayemes, that lasts, that remains. Now, the question is, how long does it have to remain to be considered forbidden on a deiraisa level? That is a tremendous discussion, a big machlokas in the Rishayim and the Achrayim. Basically, what comes out is that if it's going to last for a good amount of time, that if you want to give over a message to somebody, some say as long as it lasts the whole Shabbos, then it's already forbidden mid-deraisa. Some say it has to be that it would last for even longer than that. Either way, we hold, even if it's not going to be miskayemes, it's going to be erased pretty soon, it is still forbidden on a derabanan level. But either way, if you're writing with an ink or some type of like a flower that's going to wash away, let's say you take the saw on a window pane, right? So you have a foggy window pane or the side of a soda bottle that gets like that mist or that fog. So you're not allowed to make letters into those, into the window pane or into the side of the bottle. Even though it's not miskayemes at all, it'll be erased within a few minutes. But on a derabanan level, that is not permitted. If it's going to last for a long time, just you know personally that you're going to erase it very shortly, that, the Chazon Ish says, does not help. Since as far as the writing is concerned, it's going to last, so that is forbidden on a deraisa level. Yeah.
You know, like ABC letters, like, let's say not magnets, so it's not a problem.
Who says magnets are a problem? Okay. Rabbi Yashua says it's a problem, but other people disagree. Sorry.
Like ABC's puzzles.
Okay.
Right? You want to... Like you said, let's leave a message, like wake me up or don't wake me up. Can you pick individual letters?
Oh, so that's the next thing we need to discuss. Alphabets, bananagrams, and so let's discuss that now. That's what one of you two was asking about as well. All until now we were talking about where you made a letter, or you made a form. You took the Cheerios or the candies or the cashew nuts, almonds, and you made it into a letter. Next, what we're going to discuss, your question is a case, bananagrams. We've discussed bananagrams by Borer as well, but we got into that a little bit. But as far as bananagrams, so the bananagrams, those of you who are not familiar with bananagrams or Scrabble, the letters are already made. The letters are already made from before Shabbos. Whether they're already made by itself, like alphabets cereal that already has A, B, C, D, or like bananagrams that it's on a block. Either way, I did not make the letter. The letter was already there before. Am I allowed to put those, that Y, that E, and that S together to make the message of yes, if I want to write yes or something like that, or if, let's say, I'm playing the game of bananagrams or Scrabble. So the halacha is the following. We Paskin, Rav Moshe Feinstein Paskin, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and others, they say that that is permitted. You are allowed to take previously made letters and make it into a word. That is not a problem. That's not called your writing on Shabbos. The letters are already there. I'm just putting them close to each other to make a word. And those places can say, Rabbi Yashiv says, you're not allowed to, but that's the minig of the world, like Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others, that it is permitted to take letters, put them together to form into a word. However, which is halacha that I'm sure some of you know, that the Paiskim say they are not allowed to take those letters and attach them into a certain, like an inset. Some scrabbles, like travel scrabbles, you put them into an inset, or if you take alphabets and stick them into the frosting of a cake or frosting of a cupcake, if you secure them in, that is not permitted. That is not allowed, because you're doing more than just bringing the letters close. You're securing them a little bit. It doesn't have to be such a strong, tight, fastened in. As long as it's into the frosting of the cake, or if some Scrabble games have like an inset and you put them in, that the place can say should not be done. But without any of that, if you're just playing bananagrams on the table, that we say is permitted.
Can I ask you? I had asked Rav about Locus, whatever people call it.
What's that?
Locus, blockus, yeah. Whatever people call it. So I did ask a shayla about that.
What is it? I'm not familiar with that.
It's maybe because it's not specific shapes. It's like Tetris. You know, remember Tetris?
I know Tetris. Yeah.
So it's the.
I used to be good at that. Yeah.
It's equivalent of that on a board, though, and you have to fit the pieces together.
Oh, okay.
Inset, though.
But that's not letters.
letters, but it's shapes.
I'm thinking of Tetris. It's shapes.
It's shapes.
No, but putting all different shapes together is not writing. Okay. Meaning, if you put letters together, so you're making a word, but if you're not securing it, so we say that's not a problem. But I imagine by shapes, I don't think that should be a problem. What did the Rav tell you?
No, he said it was okay.
But yeah, that's not right. Okay. Right, yeah, two triangles and four triangles and different things together, that doesn't make, I'm not doing anything, I'm not making a longer letter, I'm not making a longer word. So I would think also that doesn't make a difference. The fact that they're interlocking is not a problem. It's just that when I have letters making a word, those are interlocking, so that would be, you know, a problem of ksiva. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, that makes a lot of sense that would not be a problem. You find in some shuls, right? I think they have it in the Tif, I think that's the only shul, maybe Don Gizrael also has it, that, you know, when you're up to a certain page in the davening and they want to show everybody what page they're up to, so they have in the front of the shul, they have those letters on plastic cards and they slip them in, so they may, now they make a longer letter, a longer number, I mean. They take the numbers, let's say a 2, a 3, and a 1, and they make it, and now they're on, everyone should turn to page 231. So the place can say that's not a problem because that's not secured in. They just put them in onto that board. So everyone should see they're up to page 231. So the place can say that's also not a problem to do on Shabbos. If you have a combination lock and you have to turn the dials to make a certain number, that's also not a problem because the numbers were already there before. I didn't make the number. The number was already there before. I just moved them into place, similar to the bananagrams in the Scrabble, that's not a problem. And like we said, if you have alphabet cyril, if you want to leave a message for your husband to wake me up, or you better not wake me up, so then you take the alphabet cyril and you could take the N and an O and you could put them together as long as you're not securing them down anywhere. If you put them flat on the table, the alphabet cyril, the alphabet, the letters were already there before, that is permitted on Shabbos. Puzzles. Someone mentioned puzzles before. There's a big discussion about making puzzles on Shabbos. Puzzles make one big picture. Now, beforehand, really, it's not similar to the letters, where there was a full letter, and you put them together just to make a word. Over here, the puzzle, the pictures by themselves really were nothing. Each picture by itself. The Paiskim say that adults should not play with puzzles on Shabbos. If you want to, Shabbos is definitely a good time to spend time with your children. If they want to do a puzzle, you should not be the ones putting the pieces in. That's what the Paiskim say. Definitely, you'll probably be able to find Paiskim that say puzzles could be done because each one by itself really is a picture. But the Paiskim say, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, adults should not be playing with puzzles. You are interlocking the pieces, and even if you're not interlocking the pieces, it's similar to making a letter because you are now making a picture that was not a picture before. However, many Paiskim say that you do not have to stop children from playing with puzzles on Shabbos. I'm not 100% clear why that's the case, and we always stop our children from coloring with crayons on Shabbos. It could be that, I looked it up again this morning, it could be just simply that something that's, you know, flat out muksa and they understand is not allowed, so that we stop them to do. But somebody, a little child who's playing with puzzles, they don't realize that this is not us, that this is us on Shabbos. It's not what they know as muksa, that you're not allowed. So perhaps for that, you know, and perhaps also in combination with the fact that there's what to rely on, maybe it's a picture even without it. So the place can say that you don't have to stop children from playing with puzzles, but definitely the adults should not play with puzzles. I'll get to your questions in 1 second. Let me just finish one more thing about kosei before we go on to erasing. As far as writing with the left hand, or for me, who's a lefty, writing with the right hand. So like I said before you came, there's many, many, many halachos of writing on Shabbos, all of which that are not practical to us, we're going to leave out. What's really only nogeya for writing with your weak hand, writing with your left hand, who's going to pick up a pen and write with the left hand? If a person needs to go to a doctor or a hospital, there's an emergency, and the hospital says that we're not going to admit the patient, or we're not going to perform the surgery unless you sign, and a lot of times they'll know, oh, you're a Jew, okay, so sign with your weak hand. I had that once in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in Eretz Yisrael, for sure they know I had to rush my son to the hospital. He's about a year and a half old. To rush to the hospital, went to Hadassah and Kerem, and I said, oh, I'm not allowed to sign, it's Shabbos. And they said, oh, sign with your left hand. You know, they knew right away. So if they refuse to take in the sick person, whether it's Loyalena, it's you, your husband, or a child, and you need to sign, so the place can say, you can sign, but it's best to sign with your weak hand. You sign with your weak hand, and this way it doesn't come out perfect. That mitigates it down to a derabanan. If you could get away with not signing your whole name, a lot of times people just, they basically sign the first letter of their name and they just like scribble the rest. It's supposed to be legible. So just, you know, maybe sign as little as possible. Best to avoid as much as possible, but definitely in a case of a danger where a person needs to be admitted into the hospital or something like that, or surgery, you are allowed to sign, but you should sign with your weak hand. Yeah, you had a question?
Yeah, on the pebbles, you said that you shouldn't touch them at all, so you should find pieces and hand them to the kids.
I don't know if it's muksa. I don't think it's muksa. I think you shouldn't place them into the interlocking place. I don't think it's muksa. As long as muksa means something that you're not allowed to use at all. So there are halachas like that, that if something is not allowed, so then it's muksa. Over here, if you're playing with your child or with a younger brother and sister or something like that, and they're allowed to use the puzzle, so quite possible that the puzzle is not muksa because there is a use for this now. My child, the place can say my child is allowed to play with the puzzle, so then I'm allowed to pick up the puzzle. And even if I say, okay, I realize that this piece goes there, I can hand it and say, okay, you know, that goes over there. So, you know, I would imagine that it's not muksa because it has a purpose on Shabbos. You know, you're playing with the kids.
For what age would it constitute?
So that's a good question. You know, is it up to bar mitzvah? Probably once they have reached the age of chinuch, so then that's not allowed. Now your next question is, how old is chinuch? So the answer is that the Paiskim say for everything, the age for chinuch is different for every single mitzvah. There's the age of chinuch for shaking a lulav, there's the age of chinuch for putting on tzitzis, there's the age of chinuch for doing puzzles, coloring on Shabbos. My 2-year-old, I may not stop from picking up a crayon on Shabbos, but my 4-year-old, I would. And there's a chinuch for how old somebody is when you start teaching them to make brachos, and then I'm allowed to say amen to their bracha. There's different ages of chinuch for every child. I don't know if it depends on every family, but at least for every child, you know, for doing puzzles on Shabbos, I would think 5 years old is still okay. I would think. I know I let my 5-year-old do puzzles, even though they're not big into puzzles. But 6, 7, 8, you know, it could be depends on the you know, the brains of the kid as well. You know, you have to know. But already once they start understanding the concept that there's more than just muksa on Shabbos, that there's such a thing as a malacha, then I would imagine that it would be best, you know, to find him a different game.
Is Lego the same as puzzles?
Lego is very different. Lego is very different. Lego is the Indian of bone, of building, which perhaps we'll get a chance to discuss. Allah is a bona and sosa. Lego, let's say for now, for the next few weeks, it's mutter to use Lego on Shabbos. We'll discuss if perhaps, maybe there's those that say not like that. If you're building something that's going to stay, if you're building a whole big Statue of Liberty and it's going to stay for a few weeks, perhaps is where to be stringent on. But for now, Legos, clicks is maybe a few fewer paiskim that say it's permitted because that's really like interlocking. But for now, for sure your kids, you could definitely let them play with Lego and clicks. Yeah.
So we have like these toothpicks that let's say happy birthday, and let's say we have a cake or a cupcake, and we stick it in, so it's really inserted in.
Okay. So the sticks already says happy birthday? I want to discuss next, we're going to discuss erasing as far as biting into a cake that says happy birthday. But if you already have something that says happy birthday, you could stick it in. You can move it here. It's all, yeah. It's already attached.
Okay.
No, wait, the H and the A and the P are separate?
No,
it's right. So the probably a Jewish company made that. Yeah, probably because to get away, if we're going to see, to avoid the problems of writing and erasing.
You said like sticking something in.
But that's only if you take two letters and to create a word.
Right.
But if it's a full word already, then you're allowed. Yeah.
Even in Acme, they know that you can put it on a cookie.
Right. Yeah, sure.
You can put it on a cookie. Take the cookie and leave it as a cookie later.
Leaving out the last piece of the puzzle.
That doesn't help because especially if you're just leaving out one piece because you made a form. Most of the puzzle is done. You made a form. I'm sure, I guess you can find, you have two pieces, you know, there's always the part of the puzzle that you save for last, the sky, that's like, there's no forms, and the just blue or just black. You know, I'm thinking about it, it's a good question. Maybe those parts of the puzzle you could do on Shabbos. Maybe, like we're talking about before, because if you're putting things interlocking together, but it doesn't make anything, you know, perhaps that's permitted. I hear? Maybe. You know, that part of the puzzle that doesn't make anything, perhaps that's permitted. That I would have to ask around about, because I know the Paiskim don't talk about it, but at least the Paiskim that I looked up, that I would have to think about. You know, the part of the puzzle that doesn't make a form, you know, maybe that would be permitted. But, yeah.
Nowadays, when they make game boards, they used to be like halves, and now they make folding quarters. Yeah. So, and very often, like, you have a game like Monopoly.
Oh, excellent. Good question. We're going to get to that very shortly. We're going to get this public library on the side of a book. We're going to get to that also. Okay? Very good. Yeah, last question.
The wood puzzles, the little ones it's like inset the pieces.
Right. Yes, so that's not a problem because you're not interlocking two things. They're full letters and you just put the A with the A's and the B with the B and the C. Yeah. Okay, now as far as erasing. So you would think that any time that there's a problem of writing on Shabbos, so then the exact opposite, if you break that, or you erase that, then that will be the problem of erasing. But it's not 100% accurate. So let's discuss which halachos, what is allowed to be erased on Shabbos and what is not allowed to be erased on Shabbos. Again, none of us are going over to a piece of paper that has writing on it and taking an eraser and going to erase it. So let's discuss the cases that are practical for erasing on Shabbos. again, in the Mishkan, similar to what we discussed last week as far as tearing, in the Mishkan, what's only forbidden on a Da'iraisa level is erasing for a positive purpose. Meaning in those times they wrote something and then they had to correct it, so they erased it in order to write something correctly afterwards. So if you erase, similar to what we had last week by tearing, it's only tearing in a constructive manner. So the only time that it's forbidden on a Da'iraisa level is to erase also for in a constructive way. Meaning if you erase something because you want to write in that spot something else, so that's considered erasing for a constructive manner. If there's something written on the wall and we don't like when our kids write on the wall, so you want to erase what they did on the wall, and the guests are about to come and it's very embarrassing, but that's considered constructive erasing because I don't want the writing on the wall, and that's considered an Isser Mida'iraisa, a place can say that's forbidden on a Torah level because you're erasing for a constructive way. However, on a Darabanan level, also the same as we had by tearing last week, that it is forbidden to erase even for not specifically a good reason, but just to erase, just stam to erase, even if it's not for a better purpose for later, still that is forbidden on a Darabanan level. So we need to discuss, are there any ways out? So you are allowed, the only time we say that it's forbidden to erase on a destructive level for a Darabanan is if it's letters, full-fledged letters, or it's on a surface that is normal to write. Again, if it's for a constructive purpose, then it's forbidden on a Daraisa level across the board. If it's forbidden on a Darabana level because it's destructive, then it's only forbidden if it's full-fledged letters, meaning let's say I have letters on the side of a soda bottle or on the window pane. So that is, now I'm not doing it for a constructive purpose at all. I'm not going to write again later afterwards. No, I'm just erasing it because I'm in the mood of erasing it. So that's for a destructive purpose. But since it's full-fledged letters, so then that's not allowed because someone wrote something on the window pane or on the side of a bottle. I'm not allowed to smear it to erase it. Also, if it's on a paper, if it's on a backing that's normal to write. So if I have a splotch of ink on a piece of paper, so even though it's just a splotch of ink, it's not letters, but since it's on a piece of paper, so you're not allowed to erase that on Shabbos either, because the paper is considered a normal backing. So that's the only times where it would be forbidden. So just keep in mind, let's say by the window pane or by the side of a soda bottle, so that is not allowed. When we say erasing, it doesn't have to be only erasing, it's also smudging or breaking apart a letter. So there's a big leniency that we have by food. We discussed a lot of foods, so now let's discuss erasing by foods. So we discussed all different types of foods that are in shapes. So you make a chopped liver into a flour or something like that. We have many foods that are already in a form. You have a gingerbread man, or a jellyfish, or an animal cracker, or we have lots of foods that have writing on it. Right? They have like a tea biscuit or a Tums that they have words on it. So how do I go about eating from those foods on Shabbos? So the halacha is the following. We paskin that if you take a direct bite into the letters, then that is permitted. Because that's not called erasing. One of the reasons given is that's not called erasing. That's called eating. That's not called erasing. Even though, yes, the letters are broken up, but if I take the cupcake that says happy birthday on it, or I take a jellyfish or that looks like a fish or an animal cracker, and I take a direct bite into the letters or into the form, that is permitted because that's not called erasing. That's a very simple case. The Chazon Ish says that's not allowed either, but we don't paskin like that. We paskin that the minhag is that you're allowed to take a direct bite into any of the foods. However, many cases, like you were discussing by the happy birthday, a lot of times we're not going to be taking a direct bite into the food. Let's say it's a big cake and we're sharing it amongst the whole family and it says happy birthday to so and so. So we have letters over there. So how do we go about eating such a cake? Are we allowed to cut the cake in pieces since I'm about to eat it in a couple minutes anyway? Am I allowed to do that or not? So what comes out is the halacha is the following. You're not allowed to cut it in advance, meaning to cut it and serve it onto a plate, if it is a genuine ksiva. If it's a genuine writing, then you're not allowed. Now, what does that mean? A genuine writing, that you're not allowed to cut it with a fork or a knife or a spoon beforehand. So that means the following, that it needs to be ink. Now, ink doesn't mean ink, but it needs to be like a writing on it, either with ink or with frosting or with chocolate. on a number two is it has to have a backing, has to have a surface. If you have both those conditions, that there's an ink, such as frosting or chocolate or something like that, or icing, and that there's a backing to it, a backing doesn't have to be paper. The backing could be the cake itself, or the cupcake itself. Then you are not allowed to cut it with a fork or a knife beforehand. But many times you don't have an ink. Let's say by a jellyfish or a cracker, or so that there's no ink over there. That's just a form. That's just the form of a gingerbread man. So, or a jellyfish, or a cracker, or a challah in the shape of a key, right? Shlosel challah. Or you have a cake in the shape of a sefer Torah, or a cake in the shape of a tefillin, or a gingerbread man, or something like that. So that there's no ink, as we call it. So that you're allowed to break off even before you take a bite. But a bite for sure is permitted. But that you're allowed to break even beforehand. So too by the tea biscuits. But the tea biscuits, those, even though there's like an ink, there's like a letter, but we say since it's into the cracker, it's into the cookie, a lot of times the packaged foods that you buy, it's into the cookie itself, then we say there's no backing. That's not, it's all part of the cookie itself. So also, you're allowed to break in advance a tea biscuit or a cookie or something like that. But the case that's not allowed is a piece of cake, a birthday cake that's written, happy birthday to Chaim, so that you're not allowed to cut with a fork or knife in advance because you are breaking the letters. So what do you do? Okay, so far that's clear. That biting into it is totally permitted. Cutting it in advance is only not allowed if there's a covering on it, an ink, and a backing. So how do you get around it? Now you already bought the cake and you want to serve the birthday cake. So the place can say that there's a couple ways out. What you're allowed to do is don't cut it into the letters itself. You're allowed to cut in between the letters. Okay? In between the letters you're allowed to cut. Similar to what we had before, that you're just taking two letters and bringing them close, so too I'm allowed to take two letters and separate them, because I'm not breaking the letter itself. So I take the knife or the fork, and I'm careful, and I cut in between the letters, in between the H and the A. Excellent question. Let's say it's script. So the place can say that script is also not a problem, because the fact that it's connected is really not part of the letter. It's just, for whatever reason, to make it fancy, that's how we have script, right? And the place can say that it's not a problem by script either, but you should cut it. It's not a free-for-all. You should cut it in the part of the connection that's not part of the letter itself. Another idea. Okay, so that we have the idea that, again, if it's you didn't realize Acme before the days of Acme realized, and you're ready, right, happy birthday on it, and it's letters, frosting letters on the cake or on the cupcake. Cupcake is usually not a problem because you're just going to take a bite out of it. But let's say a big cake that you're going to split it up. So the only way to do it is to cut, if it's already the letters on the cake, to cut in between the letters. Or just one other idea, one other eitzah, is you could cut it up before Shabbos. If it's before Shabbos, you could cut it, then keep them in place. Right? You don't want to serve it in ready pieces. You want happy birthday, and you want to be able to have a whole big cake. It's ready, still says happy birthday Chaim. So you cut it. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says you don't have to cut it all the way down to the bottom, as long as you make a significant cut into the cake, and but you still keep it together. Then on Shabbos you could just disconnect it, because really it was disconnected already before Shabbos. Another idea, which I'm sure some of you thought of, was to take a knife or a fork and a spoon and carve out the top, just take the icing out the top without breaking the letters, just take out the top, slice it off the top of the cake, and then, well, your kids are going to fight who gets that piece with all the icing on it, but then already once it's off like that, then I have the word happy on my big fork. Like I said, then you could just simply take a bite out of it because you didn't break it beforehand. That's what comes out as far as that. Let's just say a few more. Sorry?
There's not a bowl.
I'm taking the good. I'm taking the good. And we said you'll have to do it with your hands, but a fork is considered with your hands. It's not making it more efficient.
Why isn't breaking up a word considered erasing?
Because the Gemara says that the only writing is making letters. When you just take two letters and you bring them close, that's not considered as if you wrote. That's not considered if you wrote. That's what's just called kiruv ze el ze. You're just bringing them close together. So I didn't write. I just brought two letters together to make a word. Yeah.
So all of those suggestions that you just made, is that like not l'chatchila, but you already have it, so you can do that, or that's something that you could do?
Well, some of these cases are for
like
sure
cutting between the letters, kind of thing. Like, is that something?
Cutting between the letters, you could do that lechadchila. If you want, it probably would be better to break up before Shabbos, you know, because that would be the best, or to take on top. But if there's any reason, the Paiskim say that that's permitted. There are some Paiskim that say you shouldn't do that over there also. It could be you're right. It could be the I'd have to check up again if the Chazon Ish would not allow that either. But if you have specific reasons why you don't want to cut it up before Shabbos, meaning even if you remember you don't want to cut it up before Shabbos, or you're not able to scrape on top because it's for sure going to get all messed up, and then that's already a problem of erasing, so then you don't have to hesitate. If you have any good reason why you can't do the other options, you don't have to hesitate. But I guess you're right. If you could avoid it and you have easy options to do the other ones, probably, you know, the other ones would be better. Right? Yeah.
Could you, before Shabbos, take a knife and run through the letters, make like a cut right through them?
And cut exactly on that spot on Shabbos? You would have to cut
no,
it?
No, in other words, like...
You're saying the letters are already broken up?
The letters are already broken.
So that would depend on something we're going to discuss as far as the library books written on the side. If the letter was no longer readable once you cut up in between, so then maybe it's already a broken letter. But if it's already readable, so then if it's still readable, so then, it could be you didn't really accomplish much by doing that. You have a question?
Yeah. Really, most bakeries, every place really puts a cookie on.
Okay, right.
I just remember...
And they do it because of this. Sorry?
And just destroying, and now I feel like you contradicted that.
That
just
what?
Just to take a knife and to smear the letters and
no.
make it nothing.
No, not the place can say that shouldn't be done. If it's a frosting right. on a cake, just to smear it first, that's even worse. The best is to take a bite out of it. That you shouldn't be done. Okay, if you saw that somewhere explicitly, please show it to me. But
just saying, I feel like that's what we always used to do before
right.
the cookie. But
right.
that was like
no. But the place can say it's not only erasing; it's even smudging and ruining the letters. So then, that's also included in erasing. So that
but
shouldn't be done in advance.
Whatever,
right. Could be there was leniencies to weigh out, but the place can say that shouldn't be done. Wrappers, right? I'm sure you all know. You had a question? Sorry.
So if you cut it that way and you have the H on your plate now, you have to take the whole H on the fork, right? You can't.
Right, bite into the H. Right. Yeah. Right. Of course. Once the H is on your plate, then you can't. You still can't take the fork and cut the H in half. You didn't really accomplish much. Right. Flowers would be the same. Yeah, it's a form. Yeah, it's like icing. It's a good point. Flowers on a cake. It's the same. It's an ink, so to speak, an ink on a backing. Yeah, same idea. So you take off the whole flower. Take off the whole flower. Right. And they want the whole flower anyway. They don't want a piece of it because that means the sister's going to get the other half.
When you talk about the flower, let's say it's drawn on, but when you take like an icing bag and squeeze it out so it has that like. Flowery thing. Is that considered a flower?
Is it really a flower? I don't think that's a flower. No, that's probably not. Right. We have to get into discussions of memareach. That may be a problem of memareach. We'll get to the halachas of memareach as far as squeezing that out on Shabbos. But as far as if that's on the cake and you're breaking that, I would imagine that's not that's wouldn't be called. Right. Yeah. That's not a problem. That's like the ridges around the edge of a cake. You're doing it to be pretty, but that's not a form. That's not a shape. Wrappers on a package, right? Laffy Taffys or potato chip bags. So we discussed last week as far as opening packages, but what about tearing letters, right? There's so many of these packages, you open them, and it's so hard not to tear the letters. So the halacha is the following. Definitely, definitely the best is to try and open up these packages without tearing letters. However, the halacha is the following. This is how we paskin. That if it's not for sure going to be ripped, if the letters are not for sure going to be ripped, I know that the Laffy Taffys and Peanut Chews, it's definitely possible to open up without tearing any letters. Therefore, you are allowed to open them on Shabbos. If by mistake the letters get torn, so then you do not, that's not a problem. You do not need to do Tshuva on Yom Kippur. That if by mistake, as long as it's not what we call a psik resha, it's not for sure going to happen, then you are allowed to open it. But still, it's not a free-for-all. You shouldn't just open it however you want. Try and open it without ripping any letters. Definitely it's better not to. But if it's not for sure going to happen, then you are allowed to open it. And if it ends up happening, then it's not a problem. If you are in the middle, sometimes you have these potato chip bags that, it says tear here, and they're very hard to open, and that's the only place you could open it. Only where it says tear here, and the T-E-A-R-H-E-R-E is right over there. So then quite possible that it's impossible to open that without ripping the letters. So that should be opened up before Shabbos. Anyways, we said last week that a lot of these potato chips bags should preferably be opened up before Shabbos. Even if we say that, okay, you could open it up on Shabbos as long as you open it up in a destructive manner and you just have to empty out the contents right away. But as far as tearing the letters, if it is what we call a psik resha, that it's automatic that the letters are going to be torn, then those should not be opened up on Shabbos. If you open up a Laffy Taffy, that is possible to be opened up, and you rip and terrible, it's halfway and it totally rips all the letters, and you stop. And then, so now if you would continue a millimeter, it's going to continue to rip more letters, so then you can't continue opening it. Maybe get a different Laffy Taffy, or maybe open it up, turn it around and try again from the back. But you have to keep in mind, if it's not for sure going to happen to get erased, then it is permitted. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I unfortunately wasn't here last week, but if you have a bag and you want to, can you use a knife on a section of the bag that doesn't have words on it and just cut through?
For sure, 100%. We said last week, if you don't have any knife available, you're allowed to even use the scissors.
Right. Yeah, I have a pair of scissors, so I put aside for sure.
Okay, good. That's even better. Yeah.
Does that include pictures or just words on the
pictures? Pictures as well, yeah. Any form, but like designs, maybe not, but a picture, yeah. Yeah. If they have a picture of Mr. Her, you know, on the Her's potato chip bag, and you rip his face in half, yeah. So
what about the potato chip picture?
What, a picture of a potato chip? A picture, yeah, could be. Also, that's a picture that you're ripping. Yeah, true. Library books. A lot of times you have library books that it says on the side of the library book, public library. Right? Or you have, a lot of times, your kids take their sitter and that they have in yeshiva in school, and they write their name on the side of the sitter. So, are you allowed to open and close such a book on Shabbos? You are breaking the letter, and then when you close the book, you're making a letter, right? Again, we said before that if you're making a letter, that's not allowed. If the letter's already there and I'm just making a word, that's permitted. But if it's you're making a letter or you're breaking a letter, that is not permitted. So what about when you have these books that are written on the side that has words on the side? So the Mishnah Berurah discusses this, and it's discussed already from the Paiskim from hundreds of years ago. Many that say that it is not allowed to be used on Shabbos. There are many that say that you are allowed to use it on Shabbos. What's the practical halacha? The Mishnah Berurah says that the minig is to be lenient, and you are allowed to read such books on Shabbos. However, there's always a however. The however is, the Mishnah Berurah says that if you have the same book that doesn't have writing on the sides, it's better to use that book instead. For example, so now if, let's say, by the public library, imagine any book that you have from the public library, you don't have the same book that you could use instead. Besides the halacha of reading Geisha books on Shabbos, we're not discussing that. Maybe at a future time we'll discuss those halachas, reading newspapers and things like that, and social events, what's going on. Not for now. But public library books, probably you don't have the same book. But let's say a sitter. You want to use a sitter. So you have one sitter that somebody wrote something on the side. If you have another sitter that's also Ashkenaz, or also Sfarad, and it's just as good as that one, it's the Mishnah Berurah is telling us that it's better to use those books instead. If all things being equal, then you should use other books. Just one last halacha, just be careful. A lot of times when you have a bencher, and you open the bencher to bench, and two pages are stuck together, right? Because people got food in it, and it got sticky, and the two pages are stuck together. So what do? You give a good tug at it, and it rips it. So besides kareya problems, the kareya is not a problem because it was attached unintentionally, but you have to be careful. If the sticking is by letters, then you are ruining the letters, and that could be a problem of erasing. It would be only midrabanan, but that would be a problem of erasing. So be careful before you give the yank at the two pages of the bencher that are stuck together because of some food was stuck over there. So you have to be careful that it's not attached. Hold on one second. It's not attached by letters. One last halacha. A lot of times you'll have pages of a sitter or a book that are ripped, and it's back inside by that part of the sitter on that page. So you want to read, you want to daven from that sitter. So what do? You take the one third of the page that's ripped, and you attach it, not with tape, but you just put it next to those letters. So now you're forming those words together. It was ripped through some letters, and now you will put it together. And now that those letters are attached, now you'll be able to read it. So is that permitted or not? Rav Moshe Feinstein says that is permitted because he says the letters are really readable even before that. It was really recognizable before that. I found that a little surprising. You know, if you have like an aleph or a beis and the gimel, you know, in between, halfway through the letter. So yeah, okay. He says that a lot of times it is readable even without it. So the fact that I put the rest of the letter together is not a problem. If the letters are not readable without it, then, you know, even Rav Moshe Feinstein would agree that you shouldn't attach that page together. Perhaps get a different sitter or you know, try and, if you know it by heart. As long as it's ripped through any one letter and you are putting that page next to it, now you're fulfilling, you're completing that letter.
But if it's attached, it's just going to fall next to it.
Okay, but now you're holding it there. So now it's on a Darabana level, but now you put that together. The same way we said, if you take an alphabet and it's broken in half and you put it together, you're forming a letter, even if it's going to fall in a second.
Yeah. I've heard previously, I don't know if this is where this stands, but I heard that if you have a book with writing on the side, that if you put things in before Shabbos, like
excellent.
Things break up ahead of time.
Very good. So what some people do is they put a card in between at one point in between the words the public library, and then it's already broken
right.
from before Shabbos. The problem with that is, Rabbi Ribiat points out, is that you may need a lot of cards.
Yeah.
Because like similar to what we were discussing by Ramosha, if you put one card in the middle, you could very well tell probably, especially if you put it on the bottom of the B or the top of the B, that it's still a B. So then that's still B. Then when you open it, now it's no longer a B. So you may need a lot of cards to do that for Shabbos. Yeah, it has to be recognizable that it is totally broken. But yes, that is an Eitzah that some people do. Okay, Bezaz Hashem, next week, what I would like to do